Yes, Father, we pray that you will open our eyes.
Amen.
To really see and grasp and together to apprehend.
Yes.
This wonderful, vast, immense and great inheritance.
Amen.
The good land.
Amen.
Christ our lot.
Amen.
Our allotment.
Amen.
Teach us by the holy anointing.
Yes.
To labor in the Spirit day by day. Yes, to work on the good land.
Amen.
That we will all together bring forth a wonderful rich harvest.
Amen.
And bring you the first fruits.
Yes.
To worship you.
Amen.
To satisfy your heart's desire.
Amen.
We pray together.
Yes.
Yes, in our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen, Father. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. The rest of the wonderful verses, I think you can read it yourself when you go back home. That's why the outline is here, right? The good land written by Moses, the report of Deuteronomy, Numbers, Judges, and even as early as with Abraham, with God's promise to him. Is not just an Old Testament thing. Absolutely not. Oh, sorry. Ah, okay. Thank you. But it is very important. It is so, perhaps one of the most important things. Right. Salvation is very important, but the inheritance is the goal of this wonderful salvation. You have to understand that by looking at the story. Coming out of Egypt is wonderful, but entering into the good land is even more wonderful. Don't you think so? Suppose you came out of Egypt and remain in the wilderness, even in Elam. Would you like to stay there? Now, how many palm trees? 70. Ooh, right, full of water. Well, that's good enough. No, why not? Aren't you satisfied? Are you greedy? Don't you think it's good enough to stay in Elam? No? David? Sure. What's wrong with Eden? You should say nothing wrong. It's good. For there's something better. Right? And if you got something better, you say, are you happy? No. Because there's still the best. That's why you have good, better, and best. Which one do you like?
Best.
Of course, I hope all the believers will have such an attitude. What God wants to give us is always the best. And Paul had the wonderful attitude, not that I have already attained, meaning to say it's already good what he had. But sorry, Paul would tell you, not good enough. Right? As long as I live, I want to attain to the best resurrection. That was his aim. Spiritually, you always have to aim for the best. Really, brothers. Don't be happy with just a little bit. You happy with coming out of Egypt? No. Are you happy crossing the Red Sea? Wow, what a wonderful experience. And you just stayed at the other side and always singing, praise the Lord for the victory. Oh, oh, it reminds me always, Egypt is there in the seas. I like to stay in the seaside there. It's good. Wonderful. Well, they had a wonderful experience. You want to stay there? What about daily eating manna? Isn't it good? And you have to, in eating manna, you don't have to labor, right? Even if I were them, I will just lie there at 5 o'clock in the morning and open my mouth. And for all you know, one of the manna would drop into my mouth. Isn't that good? Oh, wonderful. So why go into the good land when you have manna in the wilderness? Isn't it good? Yeah, I know it's something better, but you have to work for it. You really like it? Till the ground, plant the seed, water it, clear every stone away, plant different wonderful fruits. You know, manna is good, but you have the same taste every day.
Yeah.
And you know, finally they got tired of it. Just like the children always says, I'm bored. I'm tired. But in the good land, wow, it is quite different than the wilderness. In the wilderness, it's all sand and some scorpions. Right? But in the good land, wow, yeah, you can, the sky is the limit in the good land. Yeah. In the wilderness, you have so much limitation. You can't plant anything. Nothing grows except maybe cactus. And they're full of stones. But in the good land, my, it depends on your imagination now. But not, I don't mean make-believe. But what do you like to eat? Ah, you can plant all kinds of fruit trees. You can plant wheat, corn, barley. Right? You can plant so many wonderful things. Whatever your heart's desire is, you can plant. But you have to labor. If you don't want to labor, you just wish. Sorry, God is not going to give you an Aladdin's lamp. I wish to have mangoes. Well, that is in the dreamland, right? So, in a good land, you have to really labor. Now, let us go take a look. Read all those verses, right, concerning the good land, please. The verses are important. Read them when you go home. And of course, we cannot list every verse, okay? Otherwise, we... Right. Hey, God promised this land is a rich land. How to describe a rich land? Don't think that God is just going to give you a rich land without description. A land flowing with milk and honey. Wow. In the supermarket? Costco? Milk and honey are already packed with packaged milk. Wow, you just go use your plastic cart and you bring home, wow, 2 can of milk. Did God do that in a good land? Open up a Costco. Where did the milk come from? And where did the cow come from? You have to raise cattle. You have to learn how to take care of them and keep them healthy. Right? I was told by your grandfather, I said, how do you know when a cow is healthy? Well, you know, he explained to me the chew the cut, how the cow chew the cut. So he says, being a farmer to raise cows, you go and stand next to the cow. If the cow is resting there on the ground, you count how many times he chew. If the cow chews only 40 to 50 times, he's sick. If the cow chews 70, it's okay. So, you see how he chews. How about you? How do you chew? How often do you chew the Word of God? 5 times. That's it. You're sick. And why? Because they didn't digest. Everything is still in that first stomach. Why? Because if you read the Bible, the first thing, your first stomach is right here. It all goes to the head. And the second stomach is in the heart. This is a storage, like a freezer. That's why it's quite cold, cold-headed. And this is the digestive organ here, in the heart. So, you think when the cow is eating the grass, the cow is digesting? No. Firstly, it goes into the storage. Then, when the cow is resting, burp it up and chew it again, and then it goes into the second and digests it. Do you do that with the Word of God? Or you just listened once? Oh, I got it! Yeah, you got it in the first stomach. You got it. And if you don't chew the cud like a cow, you get sick. So I asked your grandfather, so what do you do if a cow got sick? He says, there's only one way. You know, you get a chew. Yep, I'm going to cut the tube, it's a short tube, and then you stick it into the first stomach. And all the food that a cow swallowed will all come out. And he got an empty stomach, then he's okay. So, if your head is so full, you got a big head. Not good. It's really not. I know. We talk about a good land. I know. Talk about offering. I know, but I don't see it. I don't agree with it. I know. talk about this. I know. Yeah. I know. The spirit. Yeah, I know. Yeah. Life. Yeah, I know. I know. The Psalms. Oh, I heard it. Yeah, I know. If you're like that and you're not chewing, so, you need a healthy cow. After the cow is healthy, oh wow, so the milk just flows out by itself. You just lie down under the milking cow there, and the milk just flows into your mouth every morning. You need some milk? Well, go to the cow. And open your mouth. Don't labor. Don't squeeze it. No, don't labor. Flowing with milk. At least even manna, you have to rise early and go and pick it up and eat it. And God is not going to pick it for you, okay? God is not going to send an angel and pick it for you. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm too tired this morning, so you just stay there and an angel will pick up for you. And when you wake up, oh, yeah, thank you. wait, don't go, angel. Feed me. Put it in my mouth. No, you still need to go pick. God gave us a living word. Do you need a pastor to teach you the word? What about the Holy Spirit in you? Milk is very good, but good for babies. A doctor will tell you, if you're an adult, don't drink too much milk. You know, there's a wrong concept. That milk is good for your bones, right? Because of calcium, isn't it? Ever heard that? So, you drink a lot of milk? It's good, but for children, babies. Really. That's why Peter says, as grown-up men, desire the pure milk of the word. Did he say that? What did he say? Newborn babes. Newborn babes. Not as grown-up kid. As a newborn babes. Desire the pure milk. And the milk must be pure. Yeah, really. God's word must be pure. Unadulterated. Pure. Don't change it. Don't add something to it. Don't take something away from it. The word of God is already perfect. Psalm 19. Right? The word of God, the law, is perfect. Wonderful. Right? The pure milk. That means in a good land, my. Milk everywhere, flowing. But that doesn't mean you should not labor anymore. No, you need to labor. Right. You need to go milk the cow. If you don't do it, you don't get a milk. The cow is not going to bring the milker to your room. Can you imagine the cow entering into your room and feed you with the milk? The milk of the word and honey. Yeah, the word of God is sweeter than honeycomb. Honey is sweet. Honey is good, but not all the time. Don't eat too much honey. A little bit is good, but too much is not very good for you. And very surprisingly, a baby, before reached the age of one and over, should not eat honey. Right. But these are the two very basic things mentioned right in the beginning, and land flowing with them. Right, this is really good, wonderful. Milk and honey, don't you like that? It's very good. And it's so abundant. Nobody can say they don't understand the word. Does a baby need to understand milk? When you were born, Joseph, do you understand milk? So what do? Starve to death. You don't need to understand much. You just need to come to the living word of God and take it in pure. Take it in. the words of Jeremiah, the sons of Hilkiah, the priests who were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah. Well, you just read it. The word of the Lord came. Amen. Lord, may your word come to me. I open myself to you. Let your word come to me. Is it hard? Right. And then you read verse 4, and the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Do you understand that? Right? Do you understand? Is it so hard to understand Jeremiah chapter 1? Before I formed you. You understand that?
Yes.
Where are you formed? In your mother's? You need a pastor to explain that? Or a doctor? Or a gynecologist? Or obstetrician, or whatever, a magician. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Hard to understand. When did God know you? You see, he understands the Bible. And that's Jeremiah. Oh.
Is it hard to understand?
Tell me, who doesn't understand this? Where is Emmanuel? Oh, Emmanuel is not here. It doesn't matter. But I'm just trying to test everybody with it. You can understand it. Before you were born, I sanctified you.
Wow.
When were you sanctified by God? You have to believe it and accept it, and that's it. I ordain you a prophet to the nations. When? Is it hard to understand? No. Just read it. You don't even have to interpret it. Many of God's word is so simple. If you learn to just take in the word of God in such a simplicity, like a newborn babe, you'll be nourished and strengthened. You will grow unto salvation. This is what Peter said. The milk of the word. And Paul says, I fed you with milk and not yet with solid food, because you can't take it. So whether you can take it or you cannot take it depends on you. But if you cannot take it, don't stop other people who can take it from taking it. What kind of fruit do we have here in the church life? Only milk? Oh, what different kinds of fruit do you have in your home? And only bread? Huh? Meat? Cheese? Eggs? Steaks? Oh my goodness. Wow, here's the expert on the steaks. Tell me when you're going to have steaks. Wow. All kinds of food, right? Because we all have stages of growth. What are we going to do is some people don't like to have steaks and only want some milk. What are we going to do? Huh? Yeah, but if they don't want you to eat meat? You know, so you don't care for them. You do. Right. So you see, in God's house, we have children, we have teenagers, we have adults, and we have grandpas. Do they all eat the same thing? No. And the apostles said the same thing. I fed you with milk, not with solid food, because you can't bear it. And Paul was a little bit sad, and not only sad, disappointed. After so long, you still cannot take solid food. Paul was desirous for them to go on and grow. Even to the Hebrews, he says, solid food belongs to the grown-ups. And he says, leave the words of the beginning of Christ, the elementary, and go on to maturity. We have to do that. Milk and honey is good. But you eat honey, what? Every meal? I know, your family loves honey, especially the kids. Right? They always run out of honey. But we have, in our home, we have a glass of honey. It takes us half a year, we still not finish. We are so happy when they come. Oh, you cannot eat honey all the time. But it's very good. Right? Because in the church life, we should have many children. It's not good if we only have all grandpas and only three babies. Grandpas, grandmas, about 100 of them, and three babies. That's not good. But on the other hand, I like to tell you, every time you come to the Word of God, especially as a young believer, you should taste the sweetness of the God's Word. You should love the Word of God. Not because you're desiring the knowledge, but you desire the taste of honey. That's why Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2 says, if really you have tasted that the Lord is sweet, is good. So milk is pure, the honey is sweet. So the Word of God, wow, it is nourishing for everybody, especially for the young saints in the church life. And then they need to learn to taste. You need to help them to taste the reality of life, the sweetness. And this is even when John, the apostle, when given the scroll to eat, he says, it tastes like what? Honey in my mouth. The taste is important. That's why you have taste buds. Right? Taste buds, right? Do you eat just because it is healthy? What do you eat? Because you enjoy the food. Whoa. When you smell the food, well, all of a sudden you're hungry. Not angry. Some people, when they hear the word, they got angry. They don't get hungry, they got angry. That's not good. But if you smell the fragrance, wow, you got hungry and not angry. When you smell the food, are you angry? No. What are you?
Hungry.
Come to the feast. Right? Well, praise the Lord. And you get the appetite. And then you taste. The Word, the living Word of God, must have a heavenly taste. You have to know the heavenly taste. You have to tell the difference from what is good and what is not good. What is of the Lord and what is not of the Lord. That kind of special taste here really comes from the experience if you're mature. That's what Hebrews at the end tells us. Right, solid food belongs to those who are exercised by training, by maturity. They can tell what is good and what is bad. Right? But it's talking about food. So that means what is good, what is nourishing, what is needed. Today, when you buy some food, you better read the label and know what you're eating. If it's all fat, throw it away. Don't buy it, you're wasting your money. Because after you eat, you have to pay the doctor. That'll be even more expensive. So eat healthy. You have to know the difference. You have to know the spiritual heavenly food. But if you are like some of the children, eat this. No. Yeah, try it. No. And if you continue to say, please, it's good, try it, they got angry. Why you'll be screaming there? So what are you going to do? Right. So it all depends. The first category here is very basic and very wonderful. Even Jeremiah says, thy words were found and I did study them. What did Jeremiah say? I ate. Even Ezekiel, God gave him the scroll to eat. And Adam and Eve, they should be eating the tree of life. Right. Eating is a very important thing in the Bible. A wonderful concept all the way from Genesis to Revelation. Right? To him who overcomes, I will give to eat of the tree of life. Blessed is he who washes the ropes, that they may have the right to the tree of life. And if you remove anything from the word of God or add, then I will take your portion out of the tree of life. And I will add the plagues to you. So you take the word out, you lose your portion. You add something into the word, you're going to get some plagues. Not plaque, but plagues. Yeah. So may the Lord really open our eyes to see how important it is to really know this wonderful flowing of the milk and honey in this wonderful land. And where did the honey come from? From the bees. Right? You need to gather them. Wonderful. Really good. Then you have the brooks of water. Okay, we have a few more minutes. Up to 10:15,
yeah,
right?
12:15. Yeah.
Oh, I mean 12:15. My clock is running backwards. Is it ready already? The fruit is ready?
No.
No. Okay. Brooks of water, a fountain and springs. Wow. Water is the most precious commodity today, especially in California. Welcome to dry California. Right. We're running out of water. Not running with water. Running out of water. Everyone has to save water. It's very important. You'd be surprised when you're running out of water. You'll be in big trouble. The Lord did say, he who is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And if you ask of me, I will give you living water. And this water will become a spring that flows out of your being, right? And he says, he who believes in me out of his inmost being shall flow one little trickle of water. Reverse. Plural. Reverse of living water. Is that your experience? Really flowing out of your innermost being. And if it's not flowing, then what's the trouble? All of your pipes are rusty and plucked up. Yeah. If it's not flowing anymore, you better remove it and clean it out. Because the normal Christian life is out of our innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Right. So, what is the living water? It is the Spirit that gives life. When the Bible talks about water, water is for life. That's why the Bible used the water to signify the life that can flow within you, for you to drink. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Right? So the Spirit here is the water of life that gives you life to refresh you, to strengthen you, and even to cleanse you inwardly. If you don't drink water, you won't be healthy. The doctor recommends how many glasses of water? Eight. Eight. Number eight is a good number. 8 ounces and 8 glasses. It's very, very healthy. Right. I was in New York and your home, was it in my home? It is every morning when you get up before breakfast, drink 1 glass of water. Oh, it's good advice. What advice are you going to give him? And every time you wake up, you firstly drink a glass of living water. The Lord, I'm thirsty. I come to you to drink.
Amen.
Give me 16 ounces. The American cup is double the size of a German cup. If you go to Germany, you don't see a big cup like this. It's just like this. Water-saving cup. And only in the United States can you have a drink that's called bottomless. Right? You cannot see that. Can you see that somewhere else? Bottomless. Do you know what a bottomless means? That means you can refill and refill and refill, and you just pay for one cup and refill and refill and refill as much as you can drink. This is the wonderful heavenly water of life. At the end, you don't even drink a cup. You don't even need a cup because the river is now installed in you. So how come you always forget to drink? Brooks. All kinds of sizes. Fountains and springs and even rivers. Right? In every area. In all over. In the hills up there or in the valley down there. You can find water anywhere you go. In whatever situation you're in. Are you in a mountain? You're up there in the hills somewhere. You can find water there. What did Paul say concerning the rock that they drank? The spiritual rock is the rock that follows them around.
Yes.
Have you ever known a rock that follows you? I told the saints in Bangkok, if Paul didn't mention that, and I'm reading Moses, I can't find a verse that says that rocks follow them around. Where did Paul get that strange idea? Paul was talking about a spiritual rock. Where is that rock in you? Where is that rock today?
Jesus Christ.
Hey, where is he? Where is he? So wherever you go, he goes. So the spiritual rock today follows you around. You have a living fountain in you that follows you around. And that rock was?
Christ.
So you can really see what a wonderful supply of life flowing, following us. Why don't you drink him? You have to drink, really drink. If you have a desire, you are thirsty, the Lord will immediately give you to drink. I ask the saints in the Far East one time, did the Samaritan woman drink from the water of life? Did the Lord give her to drink? Huh? How? Did she drink? Tell me. Yes or no? How did she drink? Did she drink?
Yes.
How?
Believe.
Really? Now how do you prove that she thinks? So if you ask me today how to drink, or somebody, oh, call on the Lord. I heard people calling and so loud out of here. Did not drink anything. And instead of getting refreshed, they get a sore throat. To drink is from deep within. Lord, give me to drink.
Amen.
What does the Lord say? If you know who I am, right? And then you ask of me, and I will give you the living water. The woman immediately says, give me this one. That's all you have to do. No methods. Firstly, you desire. You have a thirst. If you tell me to drink 8 glasses of water, but I'm not thirsty, and I never felt any thirst, you can tell me every day, and I won't drink, and I forget to drink. But if you're thirsty, you tell, Lord, give me to drink. Immediately something in you will flow. The living water will be there. Tell the Lord, I'm thirsty, Lord. I'm thirsty. Every time you come to the Lord and you say, Lord, give me to drink, you think the Lord will not give it to you? No. You have to call me 10 times. You have to say, oh, Lord Jesus, oh, Lord Jesus, oh, Lord Jesus, oh, Lord Jesus, 10 times. At least 7. How many times did the woman call on the Lord? Give me the drink, Lord. Not a method, but he touched the Lord. He says, give me the drink. You have a doctrine of drinking, but I don't see that you are so refreshed. Yeah. I see that you are so refreshed. Sorry, it's a new word. Put it in the dictionary. But if you drink, all the time you're a person drinking, telling the Lord, I'm thirsty, give me the drink. Give me the drink. That's good enough. The Lord will give you the drink, he promised. Let him who is thirsty come to me and drink. And this he spoke concerning the Spirit. Whether you're in a valley down there in deep trouble or difficulties, whatever, or you're up in the hill, you're happy. If you're happy, you can also be thirsty, you know. You're happily thirsty. And you're thirstily down. Though you're down, you're thirstily. You still have to drink. Don't think if you're happy, you don't drink. When you drank water and coffee this morning, aren't you happy? Or because you are so sad you need a sip of coffee? No, you drink because you need the Lord. You need the life.
Amen.
Lord, give me the drink.
Amen.
In every condition. In every condition. Don't just drink when you're in the valley. You drink when you're up the hill. You drink when the air is so fresh and wonderful. You still need to drink. And the more you climb the hill, the more you drink. People have a habit of bringing a bottle with them today. Right? You have a spiritual bottle. Everywhere you go, you take a drink. To drink of the living water, and it is so refreshing and cleansing, right? So, praise the Lord for the Spirit of life. Let's continue tonight. Right. May the Lord show us to really take care of this wonderful good land.
Amen.
It's very important. Right. Even there in the New Jerusalem, there is a river flowing. If you don't see the river, forget it. It's impossible to be a New Jerusalem without the river.
Yeah.
Right. No city will survive without water. Not even California.
Yeah.
And not Fountain Valley. And no church life will survive. May the Lord have mercy on us that we will know how to treasure the water. Right. Oh, I'm sorry. And conserve the water and drink the water. Don't use the water for swimming pool. Not in California. Right? Praise the Lord. Amen.